Pleasant good morning to all and sundry, to sundry and all, and welcome to another edition of Richard's Rant. Of course, you would know from the previous ones, or if you're a new listener, thank you very much, that the morning is the best part of the day. And as such, I'm wishing you that sentiment and that energy, regardless of the time of day that you're actually listening. The newspaper today, it was not today's newspaper. But the one I read today didn't inspire anything except depression. So this rant would be on depression. The reason why it only inspired that is because all it was a bunch of people dying in various ways, not all crime related. Was a car accident and families being cut off from each other and not being able to come to the funeral and the virtual funerals and quarantining, and someone's daughter someone's daughter was doing the Hindu funeral rites for her dad. And that was a thing because it was supposed to be done by a man, and they had to validate or justify their decision. You know, just a bunch of articles like that. So it's important to know that depression is possibly deliberately still medically ambiguous. Either that, or it's a misused word, or a word that was repurposed. Misused word meaning like squeezy for dishwashing liquid, Vim for scouring powder, Pampers for disposable diapers, Q-tex for nail polish, those sort of things. But people talk about being depressed and they mean very, very sad. And that could be over something temporary, a death, something bad happened, the state of affairs or whatever have you. Which is how I feel now after reading that paper. And I considered, why would I feel sad if we are taught that this world is just a temporary place and you go on to something better? Why would I, why aren't we happy? Why is it the current mood when somebody dies to be sad? Is it selfishness, or is it that deep down we think that this is the be all and end all, or just that we would miss them? What is it? I don't know, but either way, it's undeniably sad when you lose someone you care about, and it is sadder when you lose someone that you care about to disease that they are living with. And you have to watch that person change over time as they battle with the disease. You get to see the person. The only good thing is you get to see their character and what they are made of, because diseases tend to take you down to your foundation, vitals only. And depression is no exception. The disease part of it doesn't come from feeling sad. It comes from a chemical imbalance. And my theory is that it's not necessarily a chemical imbalance. It is instead the inability of the person or individual to generate joy from the shit around them. Those that are not selfish, those that are able to see themselves as part of a community, those that are highly intelligent and able to naturally question where this stream of water that you are bathing me in, where is it coming from? Where is it going? What is its activity? What is it doing to the land? What is it carrying? What is living in it? And how is it affecting me? And how is it affecting everyone else? The people that can that ask those questions as easily as blinking are the ones that tend to be depressed, because they can see that the river has pollutants and it doesn't have to. They can see that the pollutants are slowly compromising the well-being of everything dependent on it, but they're powerless to stop it. They can see the fact that the land is being eroded away by the river, and they wonder if that's a good thing or a bad thing, or what would happen in the future. And then they want to fix everything or make everything better for themselves or somebody or something, and they get drowned by the same river and then get clinically depressed. Whereas somebody else, they're just happy to get wet. They're happy to drink. They're happy to frolic. And as such, their brain will generate the happy chemicals needed. But that other person, they need everything to be okay for themselves and for others. But not everybody that's depressed are really nice people. Some are jackasses. Well, they probably just have a chemical imbalance, or maybe it's the depression that is bringing out the asshole in them. But it is a ridiculous disease in that there's nothing that the person or other people can actually do to alleviate the symptoms. The symptoms are not even tangible. It's just basically a general malfunctioning of the individual, and they malfunction in different ways. But one common thing is that most people pull away when they are in that state, because everything takes so much energy and you just don't want, you have no energy to expel. It's like having zero fucks to give, but even less than zero. So you tend to pull away. And the truth is that you care about the people, so you don't want them to be around you like this. And it's difficult in that sense, because every other disease, people can see the symptoms. They know where it hurts. They could kiss it and make it better. And their presence actually helps. Another reason, another issue with depression is that you become so short-tempered, because everything leads to something negative, at least in your mind. And it's like it proves the point that this is the A leads to B, B leads to C, C leads to D, and you see all of this is why it is things are the way they are. So my advice for those of us that are depressed because of bad news or something like that, think about good news. Think about what happened, why it happened, the effect it has on you, why it has that effect, and what you can do to improve, to be different. But more importantly, how to function and be sad. Because it is an emotion, and we should stop running from it, hiding from it, having bad days because of it. And those that are clinically depressed, I urge you, on those days that you feel like not waking up, to wake up, because you are here. And in spite of what you feel, your presence makes a difference to somebody, even if it's just you. And the reality of it is that you're going to feel like shit regardless of what you do. So at the end of the day, you can feel like shit and have done nothing because you're feeling like shit. Or you can feel a little bit proud of yourself that in spite of being sick, in spite of feeling like shit, you still accomplish this or you accomplish that. But whatever you are choosing to accomplish, it doesn't have to be grand or changing the world. It could just be that I accomplished getting up, I accomplished bathing, accomplished eating, cooking. I got out of bed, and let that be enough. A lot of people give platitudes to people dealing with both types of depression. The sun will come out tomorrow, chin up. But your feelings and emotions are valid. And they are your emotions. You have emotions. Emotions do not have you. Therefore, since nothing is physically wrong with you, it means that you can physically get things done. And you have absolutely nothing to lose. For the clinically depressed, please get some drugs, legal, illegal, because the brain controls everything, and if the brain is tired, yeah, it's like nothing is wrong with a plane, but the pilot's drunk. So, yeah, not a good look. Not a good time. Not a good experience. I particularly focus on men because we tend not to talk and we tend to have a savior complex with things like depression. It's like, I just need to man up and get shit done. Or, I am so pathetic, I can't even do this. I need to remove myself from people, from society, from everything. Or, I could handle myself, or I could handle my own affairs, or I just need some weed or some other drug and you just smoke it away and you relax yourself. Or, I need to go and beat out a thing. Wherever. It is, except actually dealing and acknowledging the issue. Also, society has no real provisions for that issue. Indeed, it would be dealt with as a handicap, and people with actual physical handicaps are treated better because it's wrong to discriminate against them. So you keep your situation concealed. And it hemorrhages out in violence, in destructive behavior, in hyper happy behavior. But really and truly, it needs to be acknowledged. It needs to be dealt with. And it needs to be accepted. It is a part of you like everything else. The color of your skin, the sound of your voice, the texture of your hair, the color of your eyes, the taste of your kiss. It is a part of you. And it's good to simply learn to function with that part of you and to embrace what it means. You have the whole extra sensory privilege that other people simply do not have. This could be the other step or the next step in evolution, or it could mean that we just become defective, too many copies. But we wouldn't know unless you stay. And although it hurts, although it's uncomfortable, although it's irrational, you're not alone. You're not special with it. And it's just to be dealt with. So, to all the people that survived, the families that died, not necessarily because of depression, but the car accidents, the shooting, the violence, the crime, my condolences. Try to console yourself at whatever you need to. What actually set the tone was Sean Luke's mother was asked to identify the clothing of her son that was is dead for more than a decade that we're still seeking justice for. And she lost her mind in a fit of tears, in a fit of lamentations, screaming, "This is my son, Jackie Short. This is his vest." It is so unfair that this woman's son was taken away from her. And more than a decade later, she's still being asked to look at the articles of clothing. And it's for that reason that I say sadness, depression, grief, anguish are all part of the human existence. And you need to learn to function with it. I have absolutely nothing against a woman breaking down. I want to break down with her. I find that I don't even understand the reason and the purpose for the trial. I think that the accused should do the honorable thing and confess and take responsibility. And you know what? A lot of times people blame the legal system and they say attorneys are horrible people and they represent guilty people and all of that. But the problem is not the attorney, it's not the law, it's not the legal system, it's the person being tried. If you know you did the crime, why don't you plead guilty? The entire premise of the legal system is based on the false hope that humans will do the right thing. If you know you did the crime and you confess to it, that's the end of the trial. The reason why you have an attorney and client, whatever privilege, is either because you believe that although you did the crime, you should not be held accountable for these reasons, or although you did the crime, you simply don't want to pay the time. You don't think that you should be punished. Or you don't want to be punished. I don't understand how these gentlemen lived with this crime for so long. Because there isn't a doubt in my mind, innocent until proven guilty, my ass. There isn't a doubt in my mind that they did it. But how could they live for so long with it? If it is you wrong your parents, and you still have age where they physically abuse you and call it home. What's the word? Discipline. You would be uncomfortable until that situation is over. If you are completely financially dependent on a particular source of income, be it a person, a job, or a thing, a cat, a golden goose, and that source of income says, "We need to talk," you're going to be uncomfortable. How is it that you could live for so long without simply confessing and getting it over with? And these are the things that people with clinical depression see, feel, and think, and are powerless to change anything. And then they are surrounded by people of the same character, mental thinking of the people that are not close to them, that are giving them these uncomfortable feelings and emotions. So then it leads to that feeling of being completely out of place and uncomfortable. And as though at the end of the day, they are the problem because everybody else is fine. And then it can graduate into actually trying to remove oneself. If you have an opportunity in your life to do the right thing, please do. Terms and conditions would always apply, but please do. If you have someone in your life that is dealing with depression, temporary or clinical, in some ways, listen to them, but in other ways, don't listen to them. You have to listen to them through their involuntary means of communication, because their voluntary means of communication is actually the energy that they are summing up to try to do what they think they are supposed to do. But their involuntary communication would actually tell you what is wrong. Try to read those social cues, those verbal cues, and most importantly, do not take anything personally. And simply do not put any pressure on them. Do not criticize them, because you are not properly qualified to have an opinion as to what is happening with them. But if you want to help them, let them know that you care about them. Let them know why you care about them too, because that would be interpreted as, I tricked you into caring about me, and this is who I really am, and now you can't deal with that, and look at all this pain that I've brought to your life just by existing. I should not exist. Or you think that you care about me, but you don't, because this is also part of me, and all you want to do is get back to the other part of me that might be fake or front. Or that part of me is now dead, and this is me now. So let them know that you care, and let them know why you care. Let them know that they mean something to you. Each memory that you have that meant something to you, remind them of it. Each thing that you see that reminds you of them, let them know. Each thought that you have about a future for them, as long as it is in alignment with their future for themselves, let them know. Do not do things behind their back, because then it's like, okay, so they're letting go of me, I could let go now. And do not put pressure on them to keep commitments or obligations. But you can let them know the effect that their absence has on you. Everybody wants to be valued in spite of what their words say. And everyone wants a purpose. And if at some point in time we are going to make things better, we need to acknowledge the ways that we affect each other and simply do better. We really need to start thinking about the collective and not just the individual. When these people insult you in some way, instead of thinking that it's about you, it may be, not always though. You can also think what may be going on with this person to cause this behavior. Again, you'll read between the lines the things that they are not saying. As I said in one of my previous rants, this thing really isn't hard. Learn to function with all of your emotions, negative, positive, alike. They all have a purpose, and they all provide an opportunity for us to simply experience, create, live, improve, and do better. So thank you for listening to this edition of Richard's Rant. Subscribe to The Vibe and comment towards our betterment. Vibes.